If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for. Trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. Welcome back, Kyle Krabs. We're your host. Chris Schubert's here producing this thing floating around. We're from the Draft Network, and we're brought to you by Bet Online, the number one spot for all your sports wagering information. They've got all the sports available. Super fun. They've got live betting. They've got contest giveaways all season long. Super easy to navigate website that's available on your desktop, your mobile device. If you join today, you get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. It's Bet Online, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy February to you, and welcome back, man. We missed you yesterday. We really did.
Very important note, you are back on the board for the Attendance King of the Hill. You had lost your spot because you were not on the show yesterday.
It's true.
You were on the bonus episode, the interview that you guys did with Tennessee's Byron Young, but that doesn't count towards the leaderboard.
What?
It's a bonus episode. I tag it differently on the pod.
That's fine, but what day did it run on the show?
It ran the same day as the show that you missed.
Okay, so but, I was on that day
no,
on
no,
the
but
show.
It doesn't worry. Go ahead and ask the people. I think the people are going to side with me
the
after the shenanigans that you guys pulled.
When you didn't show up?
When you guys rearranged the time of the show.
Wait, Joe, did we rearrange the time of the show, or did we all have
Chris
a mutually agreed upon?
Chris and I had a in-depth conversation about this yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to believe his, like, understand where he's coming from, but he's still wrong.
Okay. There you go.
All right, wait, listen. We don't have to do this.
Hope you guys had a great day. That's going to do it for us here today.
No, we had a great day of practice that we watched yesterday.
We
are recording the day that the practice was. It is technically, what is it, Monday? Tuesday night. This is the Wednesday show.
We're all famished.
Yeah, I don't know what day it is, and we normally don't know what day it is with the way that we record.
Draft dudes do math.
We've got a lot of fun things here. I will kick it over to you gentlemen to get us in the right direction.
Well, obviously, we want to talk about things that stood out to us on day one of Senior Bowl practices. And I think if there's one player that comes to mind for me that I feel like I have to talk about, it's Ohio State offensive tackle DeJuan Jones, who...
Big guy.
Yeah, big, big, big dude. And, I mean, 370, like 36-plus-inch arms. I mean, just an absolute monster. So he won the weigh-ins. And he holds that weight well. I mean, he's huge, but it's not like he's a sloppy build. I mean, he's well put together for his size. But I thought he had a great day in practice in terms of how he was able to frame blocks, how he was able to use that length to get hands on, and really just, you know, a phrase that you've used in the past that I like is kind of has just a really strong gravitational pull about him. And you saw that show up, and I thought he did a good job of varying his strikes. You saw him, you know, get Isaiah Foskey on that snatch trap. I thought the guy weighed in incredibly, you know, impressively, right? Like a rare type of measurements. But then to go out and execute on the field, to really kind of tie it all together, I think for me, at any player, any position, whatever, I think DeJuan Jones was my biggest winner from day one.
Man, I thought the wide receivers of the first group won their respective practice, and then I thought the corners in the second group won their respective practice. So that wide receiver core had Jaden Reed from Michigan State. He really looked good in the route running. He really looked good fielding punts. He really looked good in open space. He was one of the more refined route runners that was there on that first practice. And then Puka Nacua, who was our rated rookie offensive practice player of the day yesterday. A lot of late ball adjustments, ball skills, sideline awareness, body control, all the things that are on Puka Nacua's tape showed up yesterday throughout the course of the day of practice. So I thought those two wide receivers really stood out to me. And then if you go back to the second practice, it's corner Julius Brents, Kansas State. I have now taken the mantle as biggest Julius Brents fan on the show. My apologies and condolences to both of you, but I promise you I'm a bigger Julius Brents fan than you are. Tyreek Stevenson from Miami showcased well. I thought the Oregon State kid, Rajon Wright, showcased himself well as well. A lot of big, long corners in that second group, and they were really, really physical, and those guys had themselves a day.
Julius Brents was a lot of fun to watch in that second portion of practice. Kyle, you and I spent a little bit of time watching him together. You could see the physicalness. You can see the willingness, the want to just be in there and mix it up with those wide receivers. I think he got mad at the refs at one point for a call.
Learn how to ref.
He got mad at them for a call that they made. He was competitive. He was energetic. He had a really good day. And I'll ask Joe this question, because my friend Joe spent his day with the trench play, right? That's where you were. I thought if you had to just look at those two positions, the O-line of both of these teams played the best, right? I think they got the best of the D-line, and in particular, because I focused on it in the first practice, I thought the national O-line, DeJuan Jones, Jalen Duncan, Cody Mock, I think they had the D-line's number, and it was really impressive to see that group stand out.
You're not wrong, my guy, and you don't expect that. Usually the O-line takes a couple of practices to really kind of put it together, but from day one, they came out here and really, I thought, won the day both sides. You mentioned the national and DeJuan Jones and Cody Mock and Jalen Duncan, who really, really had a strong day. And we had some questions about what it would look like for him, but thought his hands were more consistent today in practice than what we saw throughout the course of the year for him at Maryland. But you go to the second practice, the American practice, and you know, I thought Matthew Bergeron, the left tackle from Syracuse, locked it down, man. And he had some really good challenges against Derek Hall from Auburn, Byron Young from Tennessee. And I thought there was a lot of consistency with not only the pass blocking, but with some of the run stuff that they were doing and trying to create some movement up front. And I thought he looked really good. And I'll go inside for John Michael Schmitz, the center guard combo player from Minnesota, who had a really good career for Minnesota, but now maybe a little bit under discussed. We've been fans of him since we really kind of laid eyes on him this summer, and everyone kind of got to a state where I'm like, yeah, this guy can really, really play. But this guy was stoning guys. I mean, really showing that ability to absorb, drop that anchor, and really maintain that pocket depth. I thought he really, really impressed today.
What were some standouts that you were maybe hopeful for or optimistic for, but you want to see more as this week continues to unfold?
I'd say Byron Young stands out, the edge rusher from Tennessee that we had a really good interview with before practice. And I don't know that he was bad. That's not what I'm trying to say. I can tell, and we had the opportunity to be right there on the field, so I'm listening to the coaching and you know, trying to see how they apply it. And for Byron, it was a lot of I think he was trying to maybe think a little bit too much. He wasn't just playing free, and he was kind of pressing a little bit, dropping his head. His eyes were kind of in some wrong spots. And I think that took away from the things that make him a really good football player, which are burst and flexibility. And he's thinking so much is kind of robbing him of his best traits. And so that's a guy that I was hopeful would kind of run some circles around these guys out there. And I think he's going to have to play a little bit faster and freer in the next couple of days to really pop.
So I know you were looking at primarily the defensive side of the ball as far as our assignments and stuff like that. But I know you were watching the trenches. So a guy that I have that I'd like to see more from and kind of an evolved experience with his practice from the start of the week to the end of the week is Blake Freeland, the tackle from BYU. He's billed as this tall, athletic, movable offensive tackle that is really mobile and agile. And I think he's a linear player. And it's a concern, right? And for Blake, this test, and it's not a good environment to be a linear player.
No.
Right? But you got to improve as the week unfolds to give somebody the optimism that you can improve there. And I think that's the biggest thing for Blake is we have to change the narrative, but that only is going to come with better performances than what he had on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that's a great name to invoke, Kyle. Everything looks good until he actually has to block.
Laterally move.
Right. Yeah. Like his everything, like his sets are look pretty similar. Good knee bend. Looks like his hands are ready to go, but then it's just like as soon as
first contact.
As soon as the variance is introduced, it's like, oh boy, you know, here comes the circus.
And it's not the same kind of variance as you think about other athletic tackles who bulked up their body. You think about like Brian O'Neill, right? Like that's a popular name to invoke. Well, Brian O'Neill was a mess because he was fundamentally raw. I look at Blake Freeland, and I think he's a little tighter in the hinges. Where I think that is you're going to have to tailor the way that you play to accommodate for that. And I don't know that he's there yet. But he's going to have a chance to change the narrative throughout the rest of the week.
Well, as much as I watched trenches today, I still peeked at some of those back seven players on defense. And a guy that I really enjoyed was Sidney Brown, corner. Mm. Are we calling him a corner?
He's a safety.
Safety, kind of hybrid.
Nickel, hybrid, baby Antoine Winfield Jr.
That's a really good way to put it. Out of Illinois, Chase Brown's brother. I was really impressed with his man coverage stuff. He was a guy that it felt like he was really calm and just was able to read and react, stay in phase, be tight, be sticky, and never panicked. And you see guys panic out here, all right? I mean, especially these safeties that have to play in man coverage against, you know, jitterbug slots, right? That's a tough assignment one-on-ones when those guys have all the space in the world to work and really just run away from you. It's not hard to get leverage and stack and separate. But with Sidney Brown, I thought his ability to kind of stay patient in his pedal, feel the route stem, feel the break, drive and stay connected was really, really good. And I appreciated that about him because, like I said, it's a tough environment, and I thought he absolutely held his own today.
Yeah, and he's the challenge with Sidney was he got a lot of man assignments against tight ends, and it was really good except for big bodies at the catch point.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought he did a really nice job yesterday of, like you said, not panicking in that situation, but understanding the route is the stem is capped. I'm over top of it. I have the reactive quickness to fall back in line and stay on the body here. I don't have to do anything extra. And he didn't do anything extra. And he was certainly the brother of the two Browns who I thought had the better day. Chase had a tough day. Now, I do want to give Chase Brown his flowers here. This is a player who I've on the podcast said, I think he's an outside zone scheme guy. I don't know how necessarily well he runs between the tackles. And some of those questions about him on tape still exist, but I referenced his build. Was there a more prototype skill player? Yeah. Is there a more prototype build skill player at this position than Chase Brown? Now, he's still narrow through the core and the abdomen, but this dude's lower legs. Half is rotten.
And he wants you to see him.
Yeah, because he's wearing the short
biker shorts.
The cut shorts,
right?
Yeah. So, but his hamstrings are basketballs.
Yeah,
it's crazy the muscle definition and mass that he has. He's a lean cut, rocked up dude.
I have no idea how long we've been talking for.
Chris had a thought.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, you, because I was going to segue into just a player that I want to briefly mention. Joe, I don't know how much you got to see of this player, yeah, but you mentioned Sidney Brown having a tough time covering big tight ends.
Big tight ends.
Do we want to talk about the big tight end, Luke Musgrave?
Luke. He met the hype today, didn't he? Huh?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He looked big, right? He looked apart, but
holy
he also
cow,
looked
man.
Fluid. He moved really well, and you could just feel his presence on every rep that he was out there. He looked very impressive.
I think he might be the best mover of all the tight ends here, too. And this is an athletic group of tight ends.
Yeah.
And he's the biggest one.
Right. It's the combination that's like, yeah, I get it. There were a couple of guys like that. Joe, and Chris, both you guys, who are some guys that you've seen, you had some questions about, but then you saw them in person, and you're like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's an NFL body at this position. Because not everybody was like that.
I mean, Keanu Benton from Wisconsin. I mean, this dude, I mean, just slapped together, to take a Kyle phrase, slapped together very, very well. Thick everywhere, you know, never, like, it's proportionately thick. Yeah, like, yeah. Remember Larry Ogunjobi when he was down there?
Yes.
Just like, you know what, man, that
yes.
guy's got it. So he he doesn't miss leg day. You know, he doesn't miss any days. You know?
Right.
Keanu Benton really popped with his body composition.
You want to talk about Riley Moss, Joe? The body composition?
It's a little unfair. Riley Moss has some impressive legs. That's what I'll say. I mean, you could tell this guy spent some time on a track team because, I mean, how long am I can't sit there and talk about this man's legs, but he has very impressive legs.
DeJuan Jones was really impressive to me. I mean, obviously we saw the measurables going into the day. We saw the Twitter picture of his wingspan, but you see him in person,
yeah,
and you see him next to everybody else,
yeah,
and you're like, okay, I understand. I got it. I understand why the hype is. And I think he lived up to it today. I thought he had a really good day, and you saw just how much that size helps him because he can just get out, and he's just now in your way.
How long have we been talking?
We have been talking for a little over 15 minutes.
And we have not mentioned quarterbacks.
Well, I was going to segue there at some point, but
yeah. Well, I wanted to kind of open up the conversation because it's, you know, we've
Bajan.
Listen, Nagy.
He was the best quarterback of the day.
Nagy's press conference this morning. He said, "Look, he's like, we might not have a top 100 guy here. You know what I mean? Like, I've never just unbelievably brutally candid about this situation. And so we've had a practice, Kyle. I know that you're dialed
Bajan,
in on quarterbacks.
Bajan,
all right,
Bajan,
Tyson Bajan, that was the guy today?
He was the best guy. He was the best quarterback today. He had the most live arm. He's a quick twitch athlete. He's got room to grow on his frame. He's light on his feet. Did he miss some throws? Yeah, but you know what? So did everybody else.
Can I tell you the most impressive thing for me? And I was standing next to you when we both noticed it. The command and the cadence that he had, the
did
presence,
you hear his cadence?
The
yeah,
leadership,
yeah,
he's got it. Yeah, the yeah. confidence that just exuded from him just in that aspect of the way that this is a D2 quarterback coming here with all these other players, and you could feel the confidence that he had,
right,
in the
like,
way that he handled himself.
You audibly heard him get into his cadence for the first time, and like you had to stop and look.
Right.
You say, who's that? Right. Like, you talk about big presence, big personality. Like, his personality kind of popped through a little bit. He's doing some of the bag work and he's humming to himself, mm-hmm, like having a good, like he's comfortable. But then he's out here and he's ripping these throws in one-on-ones.
Oh, the zip was
the
unbelievable.
Pop on the ball pops off his hand. Like, and let's be real. Like, this is probably, it's a developmental quarterback, right? So your ceiling's probably in the middle rounds. But this is a guy who has untapped potential. The challenge for Tyson is this week, now trying to change the narrative from what the initial concern was when I first came in and did the film evaluation, which was you have to change the narrative that you're not 2 years away from being 2 years away. And if you can do that, and holy cow.
He put himself in the right direction today.
Yes. This is an outstanding first. I said, Tyson, I hope he doesn't try to do too much early. He didn't. But he outclassed those other two quarterbacks. Now, Clayton Tune, I think, is a pretty fundamentally sound passer, and he's got a baseline arm. And
yeah.
He's got a baseline build.
I noticed that, yeah.
You know? Like, he's fairly
– Houston quarterback, by the
yeah,
way. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But he's not twitchy like that. Whether it's the release, whether it's on the move, whether it's the footwork – Tyson is a twitchy guy, and this is the kind of guy that I would love to get in my building and just work with and find out what the ceiling is. He was everything I hoped he would be, and then some, because like Chris said, you don't expect the D2 kid to get up under center and have everybody stop and look and say, who the hell is this? And then you hear the other guys doing their cadence, and they tried to dial it up.
Right.
You heard a difference in the way that those cadences were.
Right, and it wasn't even particularly close.
And it was still not it.
And do we want to talk about the national group? Right, we focused on the three guys in the American group in the afternoon, but I thought Jaren Hall and Jake Haner, and I thought both of those guys were inconsistent at times.
Yeah,
I don't think
down.
They ever really found their rhythm, and I think that kind of slowed them down. But again, this is a baseline, right? I think we've talked about this before. This is day one. You now have to build off of this day.
Right.
No matter how good or bad today was, you have to build off of this day and continue to grow as the week moves on, because that shows your coachability, right? That shows you your understanding, you taking to the coaching, you taking to everything that you've seen from the day prior. And so that, to me, is the biggest takeaway. Now we know what these guys are going to look like. Can they improve from what happened on Tuesday?
I thought Jake Haner had
some nice throws.
Especially in the team drills. I thought he was kind of able to find some completions, which is kind of tough in a day one. You have never really done this with these players before. I thought that happened. But, you know, I mean, physically limited, right? Not to sit here and kind of go in on that, but you could tell he
profiles as the quintessential career backup quarterback that is going to be in the league for a really long time, and he'll probably get some opportunities to start. And
Daniel plan?
Right, and he might end up performing well for you in short stretches, but he's never going to be a guy that you're going to look at and want to just say, yeah, we're going to give you $50 million a year, right? Like, he's just not built like that, and that's fine. There's all different kinds and all different types. As far as Jaren, you know, I was really optimistic for Jaren coming in. I'm not pushing the panic button yet. But if he practices on Thursday the way he practiced today, then I think that is going to be a pretty ominous sign for his projection moving forward in the draft process.
I just thought he got off to a slow start, right? And I think from that point, it's hard to recover and find that consistency. And I think that's what really got to him. Can we talk about, and I know, Kyle, you mentioned earlier that you thought the wide receivers for the American team, the second practice, the DBs got the better of the wide receivers. But I want to talk about that wide receiver group, because there was a lot of names in there that did show some flashes. Tank Dell showed some really good flashes at times. I thought Rashee Rice had an up-and-down day, inconsistent at times. I thought he finished strong after a little bit of a slow start in some of the individual stuff. But once they got into the one-on-ones with the quarterback throwing them the ball and into the team stuff, I thought you started to see him kind of come alive and showcase, I think, everything that we expect from him. I thought Jonathan Mingo out of Ole Miss, I thought he popped at times. You saw that. And Andre Sovis, right, one of the big names that we were talking about going in this group. I thought you saw the fluidness. I thought you saw the hands. I thought you saw a lot of those things that we like about Andre. So, again, I thought the DBs got the better of them, specifically Julius Brents. Anytime we can have a chance, Kyle, to mention him, I think we should.
Future Dolphins legend.
No, I can't. I'm not going to wish that for you. Sorry. I do think the wide receiver group did show enough flashes to say, okay, now can you build on that?
I feel like it's been a while since Kyle's been put on the spot, so I want to do it. In reflecting on both practices, what was the biggest surprise? Something that maybe you didn't expect to see that you saw that you want to reflect on?
The biggest surprise?
Yeah.
From both practices?
Sure. What the biggest surprise of the day?
Well, let me look through the roster here and try to find a good one. Do you guys have anything in the meantime?
I've got one that I would love to jump in on, and because I watched him for the national practice. I thought Jalen Duncan had a great day. I know you talked a little bit earlier, Joe, about the O-line kind of winning both sets of practices, but if we're going to shout out an individual guy, I thought Jalen Duncan came here and he looked the part. I thought he handled his business very well. And for a guy who kind of needs this, right, that with the way that 2022 ended for him, a little bit inconsistent, didn't build off of 2021 the way that we thought, I thought he had a great start to his week.
There were a couple more guys from size perspectives that I thought really popped in a big way. Tavius Robinson, the defensive end from Ole Miss, 6'6", 257 pounds, long. That was a nice surprise. We've already mentioned the Luke Musgrave stature and what he brings to the table. The other one that I had was I don't like you for doing this, Joe, by the way.
You put him in the blender.
This doesn't happen often.
No. So. Will McDonald.
Yeah.
I thought was another guy who you saw him on tape and you understood where he played and you had the questions, but it really illuminated that he was undersized. I looked at Will McDonald today, and I didn't feel like he was undersized. And he came in at 6'03", 4'2", 241.
Yeah.
You know, so that it's not a big edge guy, but he carries it well. And I think that was a nice surprise for somebody who was a part of that, oh, well, we're the 240-pound Big 12 four-eye club.
Yeah.
Right? And so for a guy like that to come out and look the part, I think was a nice win.
I think Will McDonald's a great name to bring up because I didn't have high expectations for him, but he came in and I thought he performed well, looked good, but there was also he had a presence about him, and I think he quickly became one of the coach's favorites out there, where you could tell that there was a lot of interaction, like positive interaction after plays, where that's a sign to me that, like, you know, he wants to be coached, and the coaches kind of gravitated towards him. There was an energy and presence about everything that happened with Will McDonald today.
You go, and then I got another one.
Because I've got one, because I was standing next to Kyle when we pointed this guy out, and I didn't pay attention to this position group all that much today. I'll probably focus on it, or yesterday, I should say. I'll focus a little bit on it probably on the Wednesday practice at the linebacker position from Sac State. Don't know a whole lot about this kid, but it'll
looks
be an opportunity
yeah.
to see him, and that's Marte Mapu.
Yeah.
I thought from just a size perspective, he stood out, and for a guy that I don't know a whole lot about, obviously, I'm be intrigued to kind of focus in on him when I look at linebackers here during the week.
Speaking of linebackers, how about Cam Jones from Indiana? Had himself a really nice day.
He looks good. Like, physically looks good.
Yes, yeah. He's slapped together real
he sure
well.
Sure is.
Very good.
Broke it out for you. But he was our practice defensive rated rookie with Panini for the first practice. He was involved in the wide receiver or the linebacker running back pass rush drills, and he had wins in pass pro, and granted the only back who succeeded in those was Roshan Johnson from Texas. He broke up several passes in 7-on-7 and team, and he had some one-on-ones covering the backs out of the backfield and had a PBU on one of those as well. So this is a guy who missed the last 2 months of his college career, was a three-time captain for Indiana, and boy does it show, because he was loving being back out in the football field. And when I talked to him after practice, I asked him, how's it feel? How's the foot and how's it feel to be back? And he was like, man, this is just a blessing, and there's no else I'd rather be than right here. So he was a player who I did the film study on. I had to lean pretty heavy on the 2021 stuff because he did only play in four games, and the competition in the first four games was sufficient, but it wasn't the best teams in the Big Ten schedule that Indiana played. So you're bummed that you missed those evaluation opportunities against the best talent, because he definitely looked like he took a jump in play. But if he plays the rest of the way this week, this is a candidate to be a third, fourth-round guy.
I got a question for you, Joe, and I hate to keep going back to offensive line, but I know it was something that you were focused on. Can you talk to me about the interior players from the American team? Emi Lekior, Cyrus Torrance, John Michael Schmitz. Did those guys pop the way you expected them to here on practice number one?
Michael Schmitz, as I've kind of already talked about him, I thought he was one of the biggest winners of the entire day. Emi Lekior did get that opportunity to play some center, which was something we were all excited to see, and I thought he held his own. I would say in a lot of the one-on-ones, he did a really, really good job of framing, anchoring, and really just kind of keeping guys right at bay. I think he was one of the better players out there. You mentioned Osiris Torrance. I thought he had an up-and-down day.
Got some good movement in the run game, it looked like.
Yeah, which you would expect.
Yep.
I thought he played a little tall in pass pro, and I thought that he was a little bit inconsistent, like – when guys got to his edges, right?
You'd expect.
Yes. And I guess I was hoping to see something a little bit different. But he kind of continues to profile as that gap scheme guard only, which, all right, you can be a starter and that's good, but it's going to – your valuation is going to take a hit.
Hey, let me ask you a question, because we have the weigh-in numbers here. Were you surprised that Darnell Wright checked in at 342?
That's maybe a little heavier than I thought. I didn't think he'd be like a 330-pound tackle.
He's 5 pounds more than Osiris Torrance.
Yeah.
That's surprising to me.
He's big. We've known Darnell's big. And I thought he had some good reps, too. He's a guy that I think he might have some of the best grip strength in this class. And so his game is really predicated on getting hands on quick. and then just kind of taking you out of your entire ability to rush and get vertical. And so he likes to get on top of guys quick, and I thought that showed up at times. But, you know, it also leads to some challenges, right, when kind of guys kind of pick up on that. You can be aware of it and use that against him. So I'm looking for Darnell to show some more with his vertical sets, you know, and be willing to play a little bit more in an island. Because, I mean, I don't think you can't live in a world where everything's a jump set and hands-on.
Right,
quick, right.
Like right.
I want to see some variance with his sets and how he performs.
Hey, so the other question I had for you is we talked about builds in a good way.
Yeah.
Who's a build for you that you saw in person and it's like, oh, I don't know that that's going to profile. I don't know that that's going to check out.
Well, I mean, the Troy.
Did you want to take that?
My wife. Sorry, babe. the Troy linebacker. He's 5'7".
Didn't we know that, though? Who's a guy who had, like, a listing and then came in and you looked at him and you're like, oh, like, we're pretty lean here.
I think J.L. Skinner coming in,
the size is – it was as the actual measures were as expected.
He's just a very lanky build.
Lean in the yeah. lower half. I thought Andre Carter was the same way.
Yeah. A rough go for Andre
Carter. They're built like small forwards.
They're
both tall guys.
But they look like Tayshaun Prince for the Detroit Pistons. You know what I mean? Like,
I love that that's the basketball reference Joe's able to make here on the podcast.
That's back
in
my day.
He Durant, though, so that's a win.
He didn't, but the point I'm making is how far back in the Rolodex he had to go.
Correct.
There.
Yeah.
That's my era. That's when I loved the NBA with Tayshaun Prince.
Charlotte Bobcats season ticket holder,
Joe
Marino.
You're damn right. I'm trying to find Jarrett Patterson. And actually, Jake Andrews on this list here. Jake Andrews, 6'0", 2'6", 319, man.
He didn't look that.
He did not look 319. I'm very surprised by that. Let me find Jarrett Patterson, 6'0", 4'7", 304. You know, both of those guys look kind of small out there, didn't they?
And he's got the Liam Eikenberg build.
He does.
Well, anything else, guys? Senior Bowl practice.
Here's what I'll say.
In the books.
I want to moving forward here. Like, this is a foundation day, right? I think where you start to see some separation is on Wednesday and Thursday. Right?
Yes.
And that's what I mean, it's all important. It all matters. But where do we go from here? I'm anxious to find out and see who really steps up and owns the rest of the week.
Chris, anything else?
I am excited to see the building of from Tuesday into Wednesday. I want to see some more from the quarterbacks. Can they, continue to evolve as the week goes on? I think that's the big thing that I'm looking at, and I'm excited to probably check out some more of the linebacker play today. And then, you know, obviously, I got to sneak over and watch a more trench play with my friend Joe. I didn't get a chance to do a whole lot of that here. On the first day of practice, but a very fun day. The weather cooperated for day one.
Man, it was
in a
hot
big
as
way.
Hell.
It was hot as hell. It was nice out there. I actually had to take the sweatshirt off that I had packed just in case. But it was a great first day of practice, and this is what this is all about: building off of the week and continuing to move forward. So I'm very excited to see what everything looks like here for the Wednesday practice that we are heading off to here in just a little bit.
And that, my friends, is going to do it for the Draft Dudes podcast for today. We appreciate you guys tuning in, getting your Senior Bowl fix. We're getting our Senior Bowl fix. We trust that you'll hit subscribe. Come on back and see us. Thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show. And thanks to all of you for listening in. We hope you have a great rest of your day. We'll be back again with another Senior Bowl practice recap before you know it.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.